Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Jeez, oh, I'm so glad I shaved that beard off. Alrighty, 3, 2, 1. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Episode 43, counting down to 52, which will mean 1 year. Could it almost be the middle of May? That's when I started this last year. The good old Podtastic, Captain Podtastic, started in May of 2016. And here we are. Inching closer. So, first of all, a little news and a little updates. I shaved my beard. If you were listening to the last episode, good old number 42, I was talking that I grew about a week and a half's worth growth. I was auditioning for a role in a play, which unfortunately I did not get. And so I needed to look a little older, so I figured let me grow a beard because I was noticing that I haven't grown a beard in about 10 years, but I do have a goatee and always have, and I use Just for Men on it, especially the bottom part. And I've noticed every time when I go 2 or 3 days if I don't shave, there seem to be a lot more white hairs than dark hairs that there used to be. And sure enough, when I let this thing go, it's been a while, there was mostly white hairs to the point where I had this beard for almost a week and a half, and it depended on the light if you could see it or not. And last week I had my godson Patrick in, and we had producer Craig Collins doing our millennial meter segment where I sort of talk about some things that I am doing and find out if I'm still cool in the millennial crowd. And every time I do this, I find out that I'm not. Which is no surprise. Although sometimes I am. So, you know, and it's just tough because, you know, being someone who has always been cool and always ahead of the game, it's odd now to be on the outside looking in. So I'm grasping those final grasps as I'm holding on to the ledge of a skyscraper, holding on to whatever hipness and coolness is left before it completely leaves my whole body. I'm grabbing on for dear life. But so I had this beard, and you know, beards are in. All I have to do is walk down the street anywhere where there's a 30-year-old, and there's the beard and the cap turned around, and the brown shoes. I've noticed the brown shoes, and I will talk about. If you hear a little laugh in the background. So needless to say, even though I was talking about maybe keeping my beard last week, when I didn't get this part in the play, A, I was mad. B, the beard was in that weird zone where it was still scruffy. If you've ever grown a beard, you know that you have to get past this one point where you feel always scruffy, and then it gets nice and soft, and then you like it. But there's this week and a half scruffy period that you have to get through, and I was not getting through it. And it was one of these things where I woke up and I couldn't wait to shave. So I shaved. I'm clean shaven today, but I don't know. I might bring it back, even though my wife said one day, oh, I can see your beard now, even though it was gray. And it had to be in the right light or you couldn't even see it. Oh, I like it, because I had trimmed it a little finally. I was able to trim it. She's like, oh, I like it. And I said, okay. So then she wasn't home. I shaved it off. 2 hours I'm waiting. She never met. I said, so you don't even know that I shaved off my beard. She's like, oh, oops. Yeah. So anyway, beard is gone. May come back. More housekeeping news. So last week, Craig was on with my godson Patrick for the Millennial Meter. And they were making fun of me on a few things. Banking apps, which I will never understand, but that's beside the point. But now Craig has been with me for about maybe 2 months, 3 months. I must be a tyrant. I must be the highest maintenance a personality on WGN Plus with the podcast, because I've been doing this less than a year, and I have been through five, I believe, producers. So I must be a tyrant. So now, just when Craig and I were getting a nice little, you know, rhythm going, we were all getting used to it. That's fine. And I worked with Craig several years ago at WGN Radio. Craig is off to other things. And so now I have Kevin Richter.
Hi, Jim.
And Kevin, you will recognize his voice as he is a member of the Bill and Wendy team, and he's their producer as well. And I remember Kevin when he was a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed intern, what, about 6 years ago?
Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago, yeah.
Has it been, I don't even want to say seven. That sounds way too long.
I think it was exactly seven
was
years
it,
ago.
Was it 2010?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Oh, my God. So now I should grow that gray beard. I feel like about 100. So Kevin's going to be working with me now. If you've been listening to the podcast from the beginning, let's see. Who did I start with? I started with Mike Heidelman. Then we went to Kristen Decker. Then we went to Joey Gelman. Then we went to Lisa Graham. Then we went to Craig. So you're number six.
Number six.
You're
all right.
Number six.
In how many months?
And yeah. We're not even, I think we're at 10 months.
Okay.
Because May 19th was the first one, so we're like a
I'll
month and a half away.
A couple or so,
yeah,
like
so
this.
Yeah, so behind it's all behind the scenes. Believe me, I am not temperamental. I don't throw things. I try to be as easy as pie for my producers, but I don't know. But at the same time, it's kind of fun because I get to work with a lot of different people, and everybody brings something different. And so I look forward to working with Kevin. And right off the bat, I made a comment with the millennials, as I said, going out, just going anywhere in a group. If you see a group of millennial guys, it seems to me the uniform these days is a beard. Although Kevin does not have a beard.
Yeah, I can't grow.
Have you ever grown a beard?
I've tried, and what you were describing with the scruffy, can't do it either. Yeah. It's the worst.
Now, do you have a full one?
Not really.
It looks kind of patchy.
Yeah,
but you do the scruff.
Yeah,
you do the scruff.
Yeah,
so. You're trying, like I said, my godson's, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, my godson's 31, yeah. So you're right in there. Yep. And I think Craig was the same age.
Yeah.
And, like, I've always been making jokes about it with my godson because every time I see him, he's in a different phase of beard. Sometimes I see him and he's got the scruff like
okay.
you. Then the next time, full beard. Then the next time, like, 5 day beard.
Right.
Then the next time, almost clean shaven.
But never fully clean?
Never fully, fully.
Okay.
Yeah, he must use a clipper. I don't know how he does that. You know, even when he shaves his beard, he must not shave it all the way down.
Right.
Somehow. But so I've always joked about that. But yet, it does seem like everybody is in some period of pre or post beard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the baseball cap usually turned around or not, but definitely a baseball cap. If the baseball cap is on frontwards, it's usually down.
Down on the eyes.
Down on the eyes.
Yeah, okay.
Down on the eyes. Usually a, I'm trying to think of a shirt. I mean, obviously the hoodie is, you know, that's a throwaway. But I have noticed the brown shoes, even with like blue jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Or any black jeans. Mm-hmm. I will notice, and it's not dark brown. It's like a light brown. It's like a tan brown.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just mentioned that 5 minutes ago, Kevin's here in the studio, and he lifts up his leg, and guess who's got the brown shoes on with the jeans?
And I haven't worn these in, like, 6 months, I swear to you. So
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, that. Right. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So so you're fitting right in,
yep.
Right off the bat.
Hitting the nail on the
no
head.
Problem. So, but anyway, so that's where we're at on the housekeeping items. Kevin will be working on behind the scenes as well as jumping in every so often. So if you hear his voice, that's Kevin Richter. And welcome aboard.
Well, thank you.
Number six. I don't know if you ever, you know, I just thought of this right now. You probably, what I love about Kevin on Bill and Wendy's show is, you know, you're 31 years old and you do, and I'm not, this is in no way anything bad.
No.
We all have a sphere of knowledge. And it's so funny because Bill and Wendy are like my age. And so when they're talking to you, we're coming from a different sphere of knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
And so they will mention something and you will say, I don't know what you're even talking about.
At least once a day.
Yeah. And I'm laughing too, because in the couple of times I filled in for Wendy and working with Bill, and we worked together too. And it's just so funny because Bill and I will be on the same page and you will look like you might as well be talking about, you know, nuclear physicism.
Well, you two just go into like a pop culture rabbit hole, and there's no coming back.
Yeah, and so it's just so funny because you know, when you're talking about that, you can just see that this person has no clue what they're talking about, and from my standpoint, this is common knowledge.
Yeah,
you know, and so when I'm doing the show and putting the things together, I'm trying to think of, you know, where do I go with this, and I'm like, well, you know what? Either we have to either educate, or, you know, my whole thing is I don't mind making references because hopefully it is a chance. If you ever heard of it, you go, well, what is he talking about? Mm-hmm. And maybe you go look it up. What I do hear often from a millennial, and I love how I just group everybody in the same with this one broad stroke,
of course,
is, well, that was before my time. That was before my... I hear that all the time. Right. That was before my time. Well, my answer to that is, well, you know, Mozart was before my time. But I know who he is. Moses was before my time. But I know who he is. So I don't buy that it's before my time because, and I've often said this to people, you know, I got news for you. You know that one magical night when your parents and you were born? A lot happened before that night. Believe me. There's a lot happened. I know that was the most important day in the world. That hot summer night in the back of the Cadillac. But a lot happened before that night you were conceived. Believe me. So it's worth to go back sometimes. I'm all for today and we're all about tomorrow. But it's not bad to look back. There's a lot of cool things that happened before you were born. I know it's hard to understand or conceptualize, but there really were a few things. And most of those things are now getting remade into movies. So most of the new movies today are all old movies. So yeah, I just heard there's going to be a Broadway musical based on Groundhog Day, the movie.
What?
I mean, that's not even 20 years old. I heard now that they are thinking of doing a reboot of The Matrix.
What?
The Matrix is not even 20 years old. How could you, at least remake something that's like 50 or 60 years old that you wouldn't know of, but The Matrix? I mean, people still watch The Matrix. How could you remake The Matrix? But they're like, okay, we have no original ideas, so what else has been popular for the last 20 years? Oh, Matrix. Okay. So, anyway. Okay, so Kevin, Beard, we're all set. What I want to talk about briefly today is I've been, now Kevin might not be aware of this, and I didn't bring any with me. Over the last couple of months, both on the podcast as well as whenever I filled in on WGN Radio, I have discovered a new scent, like an air freshener for my house. Very important. A scent. It's very important for a house. Your house should have a scent. Does your house have a scent?
Because of my wife, yeah.
Like, what is your scent?
I don't know. I don't know what she picks out. It's very pleasant.
Does she burn candles, or does she actually spray something, or is there
potpourri? Plug-ins right at the door.
Right, the plug-in.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't know what your scent is?
No, I don't
know.
Okay,
your homework assignment for next week.
Figure out my scent.
Is to find out what your scent is. My scent has always been Glade's Clean Linen, but as anybody will know, I ran out of that a couple of months ago. I went to Menards. And I had to find something else, and I discovered this thing called Cashmere Woods. And I fell in love with it. And it's my favorite scent, and I bring it everywhere. And last week we talked about, they sent me a basket of Cashmere Woods products. Because I just wanted to talk to somebody, but they wouldn't supply me with a spokesperson, but they did supply me with a basket of Cashmere Woods products. So now I'm happy about that. But so I figured what I do like to do is try to pass on to the audience some things that I like. And because some people now have gone out and bought Cashmere Woods. This one guy drives an Uber. he sprays it in the Uber. And people say, wow, what's that great scent? He bought 23 cans. And I have noticed Cashmere Woods is low in stock. I don't want to say anything, but I have noticed there's been a definite decrease in the stock when I go. It's not filled up anymore. So I'm not saying that it's because of me, but I'm saying it's because of me. So what I've discovered, another thing that I will pass on to you and take it or leave it. It's interesting how your taste buds change as you get older. When I was a little kid, I never liked mustard at all. I never really had, we always had ketchup in my house. Didn't really have much mustard. And so I remember when I went to grammar school at good old St. Bartholomew on the northwest side on Addison near Cicero, we had hot dog day like once a month. They would cook hot dogs and we would have that for lunch. And you could order, you had three condiments. You had your relish, your ketchup, and your mustard. Now, this is, I hate to say how many years ago it was. It was more than 40 years ago. And at that time, there wasn't this stigma against ketchup on a hot dog. Oh, like you're breaking some rule. It can't be a Chicago hot dog. You know what? You know, this is America. I could put ketchup on my hot dog. I don't know, you know. It wasn't that I was anti, but I never really had mustard at home. So I always, my order was ketchup only. And there was a lot of us ketchup only fans. This is, like I said, in the 70s. Then, I don't know, somewhere in the 80s and the 90s, hot dogs became some kind of gourmet thing. And it was, you know, you can't have ketchup on a hot dog. And now you're castigated and you are, you know, thrown out of, you are ostracized by the community if you put ketchup on a hot dog. I still do. But I put mustard, too. So anyway, I don't know if you remember, in the 80s then, they started to do this commercial. There's this Grey Poupon gourmet mustard, and the commercial was very cool. There was these two, like, really nice Bentley kind of, vintage cars, and they were trying to show that it was like, you know, mustard is not just, you know, this low-grade thing anymore. It's kind of a upper-class thing. And the two guys would open up the window and they would pass the Grey Poupon between their two cars. In fact, the cool thing was, at our wedding, for our car, when we drove from the church to the reception, that commercial was shot in Chicago, and we had that car that was used in the commercial. We rented that car.
Nice.
It's the same car. It was but they didn't have any Grey Poupon in it. I should have brought some that day. I didn't. But anyway, so that, I must say, even though it was a very shallow commercial and it was definitely appealing to the, you know, to your little snobby thing, it worked on me. Color me a snob. I tried Grey Poupon and I liked it. And so whenever I would have mustard, I was never big on the yellow French's. I started to like Grey Poupon whenever I used mustard, which was not that often. But it's so funny how your taste buds, as you get older, change. Remember, you didn't like vegetables, and then you suddenly like vegetables. And you find that there's some things that you didn't like just because they sounded, you know, you never had them or they sounded weird. I don't like that. And then you go, oh, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. About 5 years ago, I never had a Brussels sprout in my life. Did you ever have a Brussels sprout?
Oh, yeah.
You like them?
Now I do. I didn't at first.
That's what I mean. You always just heard they were bad.
Yeah.
Oh, they're terrible. They're just mini cabbages, basically. And so finally, I tried a Brussels sprout, and it's Brussels sprout, by the way. It's not Brussels sprout, because it's from Brussels. So you got to say both S's. Brussels sprout. I know it's difficult, but it's not, give me a Brussels sprout. It's not Brussels. It's Brussels. Anyway, more facts. In the term of a conversation, you can't believe the amount of facts and information that you have. This show has so many layers. It's like a lasagna. So Brussels sprouts, I never liked. Now, I don't love them, but I don't hate them. Beets, horrible. They look disgusting. They're always sitting in their juice. They look disgusting. In the last, 15? At least the last 10 years, beet salad. Everybody has a beet salad on their menu now. These beets are the fresh beets. There's not those pickled ones that sit in the juice. I love beet salad now. My favorite salad with a little goat cheese. Fantastic. So, you know, your taste buds, as you said, you didn't like Brussels sprouts or stuff like that. You found. So mustard was never high on my list at all. It was on my condiment list. And once again, I said condiment, not the other word, condiment. It's different. Oh, you know, I never use them. Did you ever see Rocky? I think Rocky too, you know. You know, and Rock, we got to get you into condominiums. Oh, I never use them. I love Rocky. Anyway, so my favorite condiment, mustard, was never anywhere close. It was always ketchup, and then, you know, and then obviously mayo. So this Christmas, we had a ham. And so with ham, a lot of times they serve mustard. So our host knows I like mustard, so they always have some Grey Poupon there for me, and I will put it on the ham. Well, all of a sudden they had this other bottle of mustard. And it was in that, you know, that usual yellow squeezy bottle with the little, you know, pointy, you know, top on it. But it wasn't French's. And I'm like, well, what's this? I've never heard of this stuff before. So it's called 78. 78 mustard. I don't know what that refers to. I mean, I know that there's Heinz 57. I don't know if they're trying to play off of that, but it's made here in Chicago, which is an added plus. I don't find it everywhere. I asked where they got it. They said they bought it at Mariano's. So we went to Mariano's. So I tried this stuff, and it was a little spicy. I guess they have a couple of different flavors. This was the spicy one, and my God, I fell in love with this mustard. I'm like, I've got to get this. So we went out, found it at Mariano's. Now, I've looked at Jewel. I've looked at Target. I've looked at a few other places. I haven't seen it there. So maybe it's just at Mariano's for right now. Might be just a new brand. I don't know. I know nothing about 78 mustard, except I know it's good. And I have been putting this 78 spicy mustard now on things I would never even think of. Salads. Salad. Why not?
I started doing that too, and people were looking at me funny.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I do a salami with some pepperoncinis and onion and cheese and then put just mustard on
right.
it. People are looking at me funny.
No. Kevin? Okay. I mean, I don't know if Kevin's just BSing here.
But no.
Right now, between the brown shoes and now the brown mustard, you have a solid, I don't know. I think number six might be it. Oh, you know what? You know what? I got to the beginning. I couldn't remember. Remember, I was telling you about the sphere of knowledge.
Yeah,
I lost my train of thought on why I brought that up because I went off on such a tangent. Now I remembered. So, this is why we talk about sphere of influence. So, do you ever remember or ever heard of a show called Murphy Brown?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
You've heard of it.
Heard of it.
See, this is what I'm talking about before. So now anybody that's over 40 knows, or 50 knows Murphy Brown. It was like the number one show. Kevin says, I've heard of it. It's before my time. But but no, so there was this show with Candace Bergen, Murphy Brown, a very popular show. It was kind of like the Mary Tyler Moore show, which I'm sure you don't know about either.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay, yeah. It was kind of, it took place on a news show, but Murphy Brown was like the head anchor. You know, she would be like the, now, you know, I don't know who, you know, there's not really, well, who would be the big, well, I mean, well, Jane Pauley, but she's not even that popular anymore. But she was like the big star of the morning of this news show. And the running joke on the show was that every show she had a new secretary. She just ran through secretaries. And it became a running joke. Like every time she'd walk past to go into her office, there'd be someone different standing there. And I feel like at this point, that was my point. My sphere of influence was, I don't know if you would know Murphy Brown, or sphere of knowledge, which you sort of didn't. And so because I'm like, every time I turn the show on or I start this podcast, I have a different producer. So I'm like, I feel like Murphy Brown at this point. See, folks, you got to hold on. This show is going, it's like arteries in the body. You don't even know where this thing is flowing, but I bring it all back at the end. So somehow we're back on mustard. So I've discovered this mustard. I've put it on salads. Now, Kevin, you said you did this. I don't feel bad about that. I've put it, if you have a potato salad, squirt a little of this in the potato salad. It's really good. But any sandwich, I mean, I've gone and just bought or made a sandwich at home. Or if you go out and buy a sandwich, you squirt this on. I mean, I don't know how it would be if it was an Italian sub with the oil. But if it's just with mayo or it's plain, you put this stuff on, there's a little kick. It's not crazy kick, though. And that's what's good about it. It's not like some of these things now, you know, they pride themselves on making your eyes water, which I don't like. I mean, I don't like to fight or be afraid of my food. I like it to be, you know, kind of a nice flow. It shouldn't attack me. And so that's what I really like about this. It's got a little kick to it. It's a mustard, and 78 mustard, you can have this slogan. It lets you know it's there. If you want to use that slogan, go ahead. It's not bad,
it's
actually.
It's pretty good, yeah.
It lets you know it's there. It's not crazy. It's not gonna. Some condiments just completely overwhelm your whole sandwich or your whole meal. And you're like, oh, I can't. 78 mustard, it lets you know it's there. But it doesn't. It's not bragging. It's not dominating the conversation. But it lets you know it's there. So check this out. 78 mustard. I only have seen it so far at Mariano's. Maybe you can get it someplace else. I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting any endorsement. I'm just telling you, I discovered this mustard and I like it. Now, the other thing that I wanted to say is, so my wife and I went to Napa Valley about a month or so ago. And so we're walking around and there's these little towns along the main drag as you got out of Napa and you drive around. It's beautiful out there. I just love it. You know, the wine country and all the wineries. And so there's a little town called St. Helena, and they've got all these little shops and a chocolate shop and this shop and that shop. And so they had this little place that sells olive oil. And it was a very clever name. It was called Olivier, which was clever. So you walk in, and I don't know if you've ever seen, olive oil is another big hoity-toity thing now for the foodies. You go into these stores, and they've got, like, the copper kettles that surround, and you could get the little, sample. Oh, and here's blueberry olive oil, and here's balsamic.
What do you put the sample on?
No, well, they have a little jar of bread.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense.
Yeah, they have a little jar of bread or just a little cup.
And you just drink
it? And you just give it a shot.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's weird.
You think so, but it's not bad because this is really smooth and it's different. You know, they have some that are hot, once again, just extra virgin olive oil, the flavored, balsamic and all that stuff. So, hey, I'm not crazy about these olive oils, but, hey, it's a way to, you know, kill a half hour when you're on a vacation and get a couple of free samples. So as I'm walking around trying some of these olive oils, I notice they've got this fine selection of delicious mustards. So I'm saying to myself, you know, I just discovered my 78 mustard. So now I'm thinking of myself as kind of like I'm becoming a little mustard connoisseur. Some would call it snob. I would say connoisseur, but I'm discovering mustard. So they've got all these different flavored mustards. So they've got some hot stuff. Now, what's the big Mexican with the S word?
Sriracha.
Sriracha. Yeah. That's the big. Everybody's got a sriracha. This I thought it was a car. Everybody with the sriracha. You know, before it was that Cubano, Habano, or is there some kind of, there was a hot flavor. But now everybody with the sriracha. Got to have the sriracha. Well, they've got, so I'm going through, at this place, what's nice about the mustards, they've got all these jars open, and they've got these little pretzels. Little pretzel rod. You take a pretzel, you dip it in the mustard. So I'm going to town on these. I'm getting my olive oil shots and my mustard pretzel chasers. And so I'm trying these different things. Now, granted, I mean, this is Napa, which is a little, you know, hoity-toity and a little expensive. And, you know, this is right on the little main drag. So, I mean, this is a little specialty store. So, obviously, this is not cheap. I mean, you know, the 78 mustard is not expensive. This is like, for this little jar, it's like $7.50. So, it's not cheap. But it seems to be very fresh. And I got to tell you, I found two there that I fell in love with. So this place is called Olivier. It's spelled like a Laurence Olivier. Go online. I like the herb and garlic really good. And then, now, this is another word. Now, Kevin, I mean, you're in that age group. You go out to eat a lot?
Too much.
So now, what's this other thing? Charcuterie? Charcuterie.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that's another thing. Where did this come from? Before, you used to say, can I just have some lunch meats? Now, charcuterie?
Charcuterie.
So I, you know, so my wife and I, for years, for decades, we've always gone, we've gotten different cheeses, different salamis and meats. We have wine. We've got the nice little cutting board. We didn't know that we were serving charcuterie to each other, but I guess we are. This is charcuterie, cooterie, mootery, whatever it is. So, but they had this charcuterie, is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you're
charcuterie mustard. And it had a nice little twang to it. And I was like, wow. And then they had just honey mustard. And that's the good old standby.
Very good.
I'm sorry. At the end of the day, you know, when you got it, when you have a nice chicken McNugget,
you got to do the honey mustard.
Although I used to like the hot mustard at McDonald's, and they stopped having that one. I don't know why. So anyway, I got to at least get this herb and garlic one because, I mean, I'm going nuts for this. But then we were told, you know, it's more than 3 ounces. So if you're on the plane, you can't – we only had carry-on luggage.
Ugh.
We didn't have – we couldn't check our bags, you know. I'm like, I'm not going to check my bag for this bad little jar of mustard, which for all I know, when I check it, it will break in my bag, and I won't even be able to. So then here's the best part. Now, like I said, here's what you need to do if you want to try this place out, because it's very good. But my point, the whole point of this is mustard seems to be the cool thing now. So check out mustards. But anyway, so we're like, well, we'll go online and get it because they have a website. So fine. So now I come home, throw the bags down and get on the computer. And I got to be, you know, I got to look up this Olivier and find out what I'm going to get my, well, you know, like I said, they're not cheap. So I just want to get two. I'm like, okay, a little indulgence. The shipping was $20. I'm like, whoa, they only used FedEx. I'm like, wait a minute, that's more than the two mustards. So thankfully they make these little like caramel, like stuff to put on your ice cream, which my wife really liked, that with rum in it. There's this rum vanilla, which was amazing. And then there was a sea salt rum caramel. So I'm like, you know what? If the shipping's going to be $20, you might as well get four of these to make it worth the shipping. Because the shipping seemed like if you ordered one or you ordered five, it was still $20. So they made us a nice little buck on us. But the other day, my box came with my herb and garlic mustard and my charcuterie. Is that what you said? And my God, we had a little charcuterie last week, and I dipped all the different salamis and the prosciutto and all that stuff in there, and it was good. So I got to tell you, I was never a mustard fan. When I was a little kid, I was ketchup only. That was my thing. But I got to say, as time goes on and I have grown older, I think that I am now a mustard connoisseur. So if you are listening to the show with any kind of regularity, I will pass on these little nuggets of mine that I want to share with you. So definitely we know Cashmere Woods is our scent. If you listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the official scent of our show is Cashmere Woods. And now, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic has an official mustard. And its official mustard is 78. 78 mustard, like the number. And it is Chicago's very own. Cashmere Woods for smell, 78 mustard for taste. And welcome back to to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. I am your humble host here, Elton Jim, and we are just going to go to a spot that I want to hit that phone there, and Emily Arminetti, are you there?
I am.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, I want to tell you, Emily, just so you know, you were not on last week.
No, I wasn't.
And you know why?
Well, I listened to the podcast, so I know why you tried to say that I wasn't on.
It was Without a Woman Day.
Right.
And I got to say, it was a hell of a show.
Apparently, I was protesting. That's what I heard.
Well, no, in fact, we had my godson Patrick come in, and so we thought we would give Emily a well-deserved day off. But then it just turned out that the day that we were recording was, what was it, Day Without a Woman Day or something?
Yeah, I think something like that.
So
that
I had to tie it in somehow, you know, just
sure,
to make it, you know.
Of course.
But we are very happy to have Emily Arminetti back in the Pop Culture Club. And
it's good to be back.
Yeah, so what I wanted to talk to you about today is kind of pop culture-ish, as well as kind of Elton Jim's Toronto's travels, if you will.
Okay.
Because if anybody who is a hipster knows in the pop culture world, this past week was the South by Southwest conference in Austin. And Emily lives in Austin. So I thought it would be cool because all we hear about lately is Austin, 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 Austin. Everybody's talking about Austin. So I thought it'd be a nice chance for you, even though, how long have you been there? About a year and a half or so now?
Yeah, a year and a half.
So, you know, you are, I would say at this point now that you feel comfortable, you're ingrained. I mean,
I'm pretty settled in, I would say.
I mean, you're from Chicago, but I mean, are you even to the point where you would even consider referring to yourself as a Texan?
Well, I don't know about Texas.
No, okay.
Let's not get crazy, but maybe Austinite, I could maybe go.
But you can go with Austinite. Okay, well, that's
maybe,
not bad.
Possibly.
All right.
Yeah, so
in other words, you are firmly ingrained in the, and you get, so I thought it would be cool because all we're talking about here, you know, is you hear so much about Austin. Everybody's moving there. The hipsters are moving there. It's a growing economy. And like I said, the South by Southwest conference has really helped put Austin on the map. I hate to say, about 30-some years ago, I was still in college, and I just started writing a music column, and I got this flyer that was on Xerox. It was Xeroxed. It was ridiculous. I get this thing in the mail, and it says, it was inviting me to the South by the first, it was the first one, the South by Southwest festival, because at the beginning it was an underground music festival. And now, my gosh, it's turned into this whole cultural thing. Well, it certainly has music and movies involved, but now it's got politics and gaming and the environment. It's become this kind of umbrella.
Well, there's a whole technology track.
Yeah. So I just thought, to talk a little bit about South by Southwest. I saw Joe Biden was there. I mean, my gosh.
He is. He's here. So, like, I don't know. I wasn't here last year during South By because it was...
Uh-oh, what do you call it? Uh-oh, wait a minute. Stop. You just used...
South By.
Oh, South By. Oh, real cool, man.
So the first thing you need to do to get with the program...
South... you mean South X?
I think you have to live here to get away with saying
See, this is... See, right now... By you just doing that, worth the price of admission. I don't even care if we talk about this anymore. For you to have casually dropped.
Does that automatically make you hate South by?
Oh, no. Well, no, I don't know. I love South by. Oh. Can you be any more pretentious? I love it. So you weren't there for last year's South by, but you've been there for this year's South by. So how's this year's South by? I call it South X.
I mean, first of all, I haven't made it to any events yet. However, I'm
well. That's even
to
well. That's even cooler. See, that's even cooler that you would be there and that you wouldn't be there at South by.
Right, exactly.
Because it's ruined now.
Yeah, I mean, if I
South by.
If I can deign to attend any of the events,
it's not cheap. I went online.
Okay, so first of all, I mean, the main thing that actually I find a little bit challenging right now, kind of being halfway through the week, is that it's actually a very intricate, complex system. Like, first of all, there are over 250 events happening.
You know, how can you get your arms around that?
You can't. It's really hard. So there are some people who try, like, there's someone who does this, like, spreadsheet. It's, like, some guy who puts together a spreadsheet, and he, like, and he puts
Does he have a beard and brown shoes?
I don't know, because his Twitter, he puts it on Twitter, and his Twitter thing is just like an avatar. I don't even think it's like an actual photo of a person. And he puts together, like, first of all, he does a spreadsheet of free events, okay, which is great, because then people know. And then he asks for, like, oh, if you find this useful, like a modest donation of a couple bucks would be appreciated. I think he does this every year. Okay, so there's that. But then there's, like, the schedule of events that you need, like, badges for. There are different levels of badges.
Oh, of course.
Like, and then there's, like, a whole – see, this is going to blow your mind, Jim. I don't even think you can
– Well, I tell you.
I don't even know.
No. Well, I went online because, to see just, who was there a little, prepped on this. And I went on their website, and my head was exploding. Yeah. I mean, I was like, you know what? I don't care who's there. This was so, it was so involved. It's information overload with what they have. I mean, they said I had to laugh because when this thing first started, I got this bad Xerox copy flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the? I mean, I threw it away. I mean, you know what? I didn't throw it away, though. I kept it just because they had a couple of cool bands. I think the Del Fuegos were there at the first. This was like some 80s band.
Oh, I remember the Del Fuegos.
Yeah, the Del Fuegos. And I was like, and I used to like the Del Fuegos. So I was like, oh, the Del Fuegos are there. And I just kept it for some reason. And then as time went on, South by became this thing to which now, I mean, I saw. If I wanted to walk up, $1,300 bucks.
Okay, so that's for a badge. So that is what.
So what does a badge get me?
You don't need a badge for every single event, but a badge will pretty much get you into every single event. However,
for $1,300 better.
And this is the thing that gets crazy. It doesn't necessarily. So let's take one show for example. This Friday, Weezer is playing. Okay.
Oh, you love Weezer.
Like, oh, I want to see.
You are a huge Weezer. Okay, turned me on to Weezer.
I like Weezer. Yeah.
I know. You turned that blue album. You turned me on to Weezer.
Yes.
You did.
So I'm like, what do I need to do to see Weezer? Well, I can't see Weezer.
Is Rivers there?
Like, there's a. Okay, the entry system is this. There's, like, primary entry and secondary entry. So, like, primary entry is if you have an interactive badge or you have a music badge.
Oh,
okay.
Geez.
But even then. It's first come, first serve. So if the venue reaches capacity, and this, the festival takes over pretty much like every bar and music venue and any venue, theater, everything in town.
Wait, before you
pop up places.
Yeah, before you go on. So you live in Austin proper?
I live in Austin. And but I don't live downtown. I live like 10 minutes from downtown.
So my point is.
It'd be like it would be like the distance of living in Lincoln Park. And then.
To downtown.
Going to something downtown.
Okay, but here's my point. If I go to Austin right now, because I mean, by the time this airs on Monday, the festival will have been over. It ends on the 19th.
Right.
But right now in your town. I mean, is it obvious if you drive to the grocery store or you're going anywhere?
Yeah.
Is it just obvious that South by is happening?
Yes.
So there is stuff everywhere.
Yeah, there's stuff everywhere. Fair driver.
Did you hear how I use South by in a sentence?
Yeah. Okay, let's move past that. So I went to see Stevie Nicks the other night.
Oh, you did?
Stevie Nicks and the Pretenders. They happened to be here. They're not here necessarily as part of South by Southwest. Maybe they planned it. I don't even know.
Oh,
maybe
they had to have planned it for that.
Stevie Nicks. Well, Stevie Nicks sort of said, like, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
I happened to be here during South by Southwest.
Oh, what a great bill. I read about. I just read an article about Chrissy Hynde.
She's so good.
Was that a great concert?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that sounds like a great
bill. Good. I have to say, though, I love Stevie Nicks, and her voice sounds great, but she does a few Fleetwood Mac songs, not a ton. She doesn't even do, like, all of her solo hits, per se, but she positioned this as, she said she wanted to go on tour, and she wanted to do the songs, not necessarily her most popular songs and the hits, but the ones that she really enjoys singing. So then you have to keep that in mind, that she sings some pretty obscure stuff, which is fine. Her voice is amazing. But the Pretenders are just so good live that
they
almost overshadowed her.
Oh, yeah. No, I believe it. Chrissy Hynde, I've seen the Pretenders back in their heyday in the 80s when with the Learning to Crawl album and, Back on the Chain Gang and things like that. And even the last couple of solo albums that she's either put out on her own or put under the name Pretenders. Martin Chambers, was he the drummer? Do you remember? Was the drummer a bald guy?
He wasn't bald, no.
Okay, because I know that's...
For some reason, the name is sounding familiar.
Yeah, he was the original drummer. I think he's back. But so now, where was that? Now, was that in...
Okay, so that was at the Frank Irwin Center, which is like a big, it's like a big venue.
Oh, that's an arena.
That might be where UT. Yeah, it's an arena. I think that might be where UT. I want to say maybe they play basketball there.
Okay, what's UT?
The University of Texas.
Oh, listen to you again. UT.
UT. UT.
South by UT.
Well, you follow sports.
Yeah, I do, but not really college sports.
Okay. So anyway, I'm in a fare, which is our version of Uber, because, Uber left Austin.
Really?
And
why did Uber? What do you mean? It's a ground zero of Hipstersville. How could Uber be gone?
It is, but yeah, no. But see, the Uber couldn't handle the local regulations for background checks and stuff on drivers.
Oh.
They passed some legislation here that was making it more like they had to do like more extensive background checks, and so Uber and Lyft both decided to leave.
So
but we have other.
Oh, really? So you don't even have Lyft?
So cool that we have more like indie rideshare.
Okay, so basically, you're going to get into a car with a murderer.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what? I don't understand. Believe me, I don't. I mean, I have never. I mean, I've gone. I've been in an Uber because I've been with somebody who has ordered one. And I have, and right. I was sitting by the door with my hand on the open
ready to
make sure that this guy was not locking me in and driving down some alley.
To jump out and roll.
I don't understand the level of trust. I don't even trust cab drivers. How are you walking into somebody else's car?
No, it's not that they don't do any background check. They definitely do background checks.
Well, back in Austin, it's probably don't even conceal and carry, right? They just have like shotguns out on the dashboard, right?
They might. I personally don't, and I've never been in a.
So you found some vagrant with a car, and you got in his car, and he drove you somewhere.
So, yeah, no, not only that, the guy picked me up at my house, so now he knows where I live.
Are you in there by yourself? Did you go by yourself?
I picked up my friend on the way.
Oh.
So he knows where she lives.
Oh, my God. This is an episode of Criminal Minds.
He's a nice guy, and he told me.
Joe Montana's going to come to your house.
He's a real nice guy.
Oh, yeah. So was Gacy. He was a clown.
Right. So he was telling me. So they had a surge. You know what the surge is? It's when, like, they're really, really busy.
The only surge
up.
I know happened in Iraq.
Okay, there's surge pricing for rideshare services. So that it's basically like if demand is up, the price goes up,
Oh, my God.
So So they're really busy.
So it's not even. I thought Uber, the whole idea of this file sharing with wheels was that it was cheaper than a cab.
Well, no, I don't think that's how they. I don't think that's the point of it. The point of it is it's easier, right? You go in your app. You can see exactly where the nearest.
Not on my flip phone, I can't.
To order. Well, no, you can. Everybody else in the can. Not you. So or you, my oh, dad.
Okay, oh, there you go.
You're like the last three people on earth with flip phones. You, my dad, and Robert De Niro. Okay?
Hey, I'll take that company.
They're pretty cool. Both of them are pretty cool old Italian guys, but they are like, I mean, what, over 70? I mean, is that like a
So anyway, long story short, vagrant takes you to the concert.
The whole point is, so first of all, the surge pricing, so it's more expensive because I said to him, are you really busy? And he's like, oh, yeah. He said,
well, what's he going to say?
He said, yesterday I made $1,000 and I logged X amount of miles, whatever.
He was just showing off to you. I got $1,000 in my pocket.
I said, did you have any celebrities? Because a lot of people say if you just walk around downtown, you'll just see people everywhere. You just go to Whole Foods,
Has South By during this week and a half, has this become kind of like the Sundance Festival in Park City? Utah.
I don't know because I've never been to.
No, but my point is
much bigger. It's much bigger.
No, but my point is all the cool hipsters go to this now too, right?
Yeah, they take over all the venues. They do pop up stuff. So this guy, this fare driver, told me that there's a pop up in the city. Of did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Of course.
Okay, so you know the chicken place.
What am I, 100?
The chicken.
Yeah, Gus owned the chicken place.
You don't have Netflix, so who knows?
Gus owned the chicken place. Gus.
Right. They did a pop-up, a replica of the chicken place downtown.
Nice.
And it's like an actual functioning, like they're actually serving chicken there.
And meth.
And he said some of the guys from Breaking Bad were there. Not Bryan Cranston, but he said the guy, the big kingpin.
Gus?
Who was running. And like one of the other guys.
Well, you know what? In fact, I read, on Better Call Saul. Gus is going to be on Better Call Saul this season.
Oh, really?
It's going to be early Gus, because this all happens before Breaking Bad. But yeah, Gus is going to be on.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's...
Well, that's cool.
Like that. And you'll like this. Okay, so this is one of the things I'm trying to get to in the next couple of days. They are doing... Showtime is setting up a pop-up like Showtime.
Don't tell me Twin Peaks.
Yep. Get your plane tickets. Still time.
What
it's
day?
Thursday.
When?
Tomorrow. it's tomorrow.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
Kyle MacLachlan's going to be there.
Dale Cooper.
Yeah, and what they're doing is they're replicating the Double R Diner.
Oh no!
They're gonna have coffee.
How cool!
They're gonna have donuts.
You know how they? You know what I could have helped them on? If you watch Twin Peaks, in the R&R Diner, I have a jukebox at home. They have the same exact jukebox.
I've seen your jukebox.
If you watch the original Twin Peaks. They have the same exact, I didn't do this on purpose, but once again, just being as cool as I am, I got the same jukebox as Twin Peaks has. Oh, I would love, that's going
to
be, you got to go there.
I'll report back to you and I will tell you, I'm going to try. I have to it's all about figuring out exactly when, how you can get into this stuff. But I believe that the Twin Peaks thing is one of the events that you do not need a badge for.
Oh, May 21st on Showtime. It's already marked on my calendar.
Right.
Damn good cup of coffee, Diane.
Right.
Oh, wow. See, now.
Obviously, they're doing this to promote.
Oh, yeah.
The,
well, see, so now it actually sounds like South By.
South by. Yeah.
South by.
See, now you're into saying South by.
No, but it sounds like the South. I call it South X because that's what it is. South X. South. South. South X.
So you
South
call X. It South X because yeah. you are
me.
Because you need to get with the program.
So it's South
you're
X.
Out of. I don't even know what you call it. What do you call it? You're on the scene.
I am on the. I am
scene.
In the scene.
You're not
with the young
you're not
people.
In the scene.
I am in the scene.
That's why you call it South X because you're not in the scene.
No, and so, but obviously, it sounds like South by South by has become sort of like a Comic Con.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to Comic-Con either.
No, but I mean to promote, I'm saying they're promoting movies, they're doing this kind of Twin Peaks thing, and like I said, Joe Biden is there. I mean, this is the cool place to be.
Music, politics.
So now, very quickly, so tell me, kind of quickly here, what is so cool about Austin? Why has it become such a magnet?
I mean, look, this is just from my perspective, you know, the vibe is just very kind of relaxed, but it's creative. It's happening. Like I said, UT is here. It's university adjacent, which I think always brings a nice influx of arts and culture. Obviously, Austin has a long history rooted in music, live music.
Oh, and Willie Nelson.
I mean, the live music scene here is amazing. I mean, if you are a music lover, and I know you are.
The first time I ever went to Austin was on a business trip. I landed at the airport, and in the gift shop was a poster of Willie Nelson. And I was like, okay, I know I'm in Austin, Texas now, when the gift shop has a poster of Willie Nelson.
Yeah. Well, I went to a wedding here and they had a cardboard cutout of Willie Nelson, like as a fun thing that their guests could take photos of.
Oh, how funny.
They had one of him and they had one of Matthew McConaughey.
Oh,
we took the photo. Yeah. We took our picture with Willie.
Oh, very good. See, that's why I love you.
Yeah. Willie. Right. But yeah, no. So, I mean, yeah, they've got, you know, it's a great music scene. And I'll be honest with you, you know, you're sitting in Chicago right now. I know you guys just got, what, like a foot of snow?
Yeah.
It's 70 degrees in February and 80 degrees in March. So you really can't beat the weather.
But now, don't you guys get some bad rain a lot?
We do get a lot of rain, but so do you guys.
I just know that there's always, like, I mean, they're always talking about Texas and flooding all the time. But you guys, Austin doesn't have a flooding problem, or?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there are, in certain parts of Austin, there are issues when it rains a lot. But I live in the hills, so we don't actually have, I mean, we're on a hill. So, you know, you don't have to worry about floods.
Right. Everything. Kind of all your rain is, all your rain is just devastating other people's homes down the hill.
Look, I can't control the rain or the flow of water.
So now, so
gravity,
and I would assume like good restaurants and stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean we have good restaurants. Obviously, we're kind of known for barbecue, and then we have really good Mexican food too. But
I gotta say though, you are saying we quite a bit. You are saying we quite a bit.
I do live here. No, so they had, I think we need to plan a trip. You need to do like a pilgrimage.
I do need to come down there again. Because when I was there, it was about 15 years ago, and it was just at the beginning when the whole tech world started to first get down there. And so it was very preliminary. It wasn't the hipster.
Right.
Now, my only fear is I got to think it's got to be a town filled with baristas, right?
No, I'm not necessarily.
My new producer here, Kevin, do you have ink?
Tattoos?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or is my
you God... have ink? I love how you say.
Well,
like,
no, I was just gonna say my godson. Ink. My godson has this. He calls it a piece.
I have a piece. A few pieces.
Do you say
a
it?
Piece?
Do you call it a piece?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the piece, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So, how many pieces do you have?
Is that what you call? What is a piece? Is that a tattoo?
Yeah.
Like if you have something all the way across your chest, I do. It's a chest piece.
You have all across your chest. What do you got?
I do. It's actually a Neil Young quote and some art around it.
What is it?
It says, "Searching for a heart of gold."
Searching for a heart of gold.
Yes, sir.
On your heart.
On my chest, but yes, part of the heart. Yeah.
Wow! Look at you.
Oh yeah.
I've been to Hollywood. I've been to Redwood.
Across the ocean for a heart of gold.
I've been a miner for a heart of gold.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
It's such a fine line. It keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old. No kidding.
And what else?
Maybe you need to get a piece.
Yeah. What other pieces do you have?
Well, I guess I, like the rest, that's the main piece. But I've got other like bigger ones that kind of just go from like shoulders.
And what is that?
I've got a tiger head here with like a flower coming out of it. It's like an artistic piece in the vein of an artist I like. I've got an eagle on the other shoulder that kind of comes around. Jesus. I got a piece in Tokyo here in Tabori style.
Really?
Where they stick and poke you. Yeah, I did that too. I got a few.
I was stick and poked, but it wasn't for a tattoo. Well, I hate needles, but my godson Patrick, he's got a piece because he's got on his forearm, he's got like a whole landscape of his grandfather. You know, they have a cabin up in Michigan, and so he's got a view of the lake from the cabin.
That's cool.
So he's got like the pier and the water and the trees on his forearm.
Very cool.
Well, I just say that.
See it.
Well, yeah, I just say this because I bring up the tattoo and the piece and the ink because I would assume that there's a lot of tattooed hipsters in Austin too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure.
Would you think? Yeah. I mean, Emily, you're in the middle between a millennial and a baby boomer. And
yeah, I'm a Generation X.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you think? I believe this, that I think in another 20, so about 20 years, the majority of people in America, if not the world, will all have some kind of a tattoo. Because it seems like my godson, I would never, I mean, he's a nice guy, and it's not like, you know, and I'm not saying anybody who has a tattoo isn't, but I would never have thought, I just wouldn't have thought that he would have gotten a tattoo. And for him to have not only gotten a tattoo, but this huge tattoo, mm-hmm. clearly,
a piece,
this is not, this is clearly not just a fad, or I'm going to get a butterfly. I mean, in your case, this is across your chest, right, mm-hmm. Kevin? So, yes. I mean, like, Emily, do you have one?
I do not, but
you
I
don't.
Feel like I should. Well, I feel like I should.
Yeah, I mean, I can't because A, I hate needles, and B, I've got too much hair. It doesn't matter. I mean, mine would be a 3D tattoo. You know, the hair would be coming out of it. So,
gross.
Yeah, I know. So I can't. There's very few spots. I mean, I can't even. I'd have to get like an ant. That's about as big of a space I could find where there isn't any hair, so I couldn't do it.
Well, you know, I think that maybe, you know, a couple decades ago, it was maybe considered more of a rebellious thing to do.
Yeah, but now...
Now it's more of like, you know, a personal expression. You know, it's just... It's not... I think that's why it's kind of become.
But that's my point.
Popular,
I think that in 20 or 30 years, when the baby boomer generation is pretty much gone, that there's most people in their 30s that I know or younger have a tattoo of some sort. It might not be as elaborate as a big body thing, but something somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would struggle to figure out if I'm going to have something tattooed on my body that's going to be there forever, like what exactly that will be and how I want it to look. And because to be honest with you, I could take forever just to pick out a pair of shoes. So, you know, picking out a tattoo, that feels really intimidating.
So in a paragraph, tell me why I should visit Austin. Aside from South By.
Well, I already did. I mean, look, the weather is fantastic. The music scene is great. I mean, there's no shortage of things to do. You'll have great music. You'll have great food.
Now, where can I stay? So, I mean, what's that main drag where all the music is? Where's the main drag? 4th Street or 5th Street?
Well, there's Sixth Street, which people call Dirty Six, and that is where there are a lot of like bars and there are some music venues. But that's not the only place. Like I like South Congress. That's a really cool street strip where they have like a couple music venues that I really like. One is called the Continental Club. That's pretty well known. I feel like it's kind of verging on iconic Austin, so you may have heard of it. And that's always a good time. And then they also have like a bunch of like vintage shops and things like that that have popped up along there, and some cool kind of boutique hotels that have cool bars and aren't too like cheesy, or not. They're not cheesy at all.
But it's definitely hipster. It's definitely hipster central, right?
I would say Yeah, and I mean, there are areas, like, I wouldn't even say 6th Street is really hipster. 6th Street is more where people go when they're kind of younger, and they're looking to just go out and, like, drink all night. And,
oh, I see.
You know, go to bars, like, meet people. You know, like,
right.
I feel like that's not so much the cool part of Austin. You know, there are for sure cooler parts of Austin, I would say. But, yeah, no, if you come here, we could definitely show you a good time. I will take you around.
I'm going to have to do that because it sounds, first of all, I haven't seen you in many, many years. And secondly,
I know
it just sounds like being, as I said at the top of the podcast today, as I grasp and struggle to hold on to those final strains of hipness, I have to do something.
Yeah, you're hanging on by a thread.
Oh, I know. I'm. I said I'm on a ledge. I'm on a skyscraper.
This is why you need to come to Austin, right there.
I know. Yeah. So yeah. Now, for instance, if I go there without my hipster beard or without any ink, I mean, am I going to be ostracized by the community?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You know what? Bring your brooch.
First of all, it's not a brooch. It's a festive pin. So let's just get that straight. But anyway, you have certainly piqued my interest. I just keep hearing about Austin, and
you know, and that
it sounds like it's a cool place.
So you have your own very distinct style, and that actually makes you perfect for Austin.
Right.
Because Austin is, I feel like it is a place that celebrates individuality. And so you're not, you know.
It's basically a hippie commune. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think what you need is like a man bun and a piece. You just need to be yourself.
Yeah.
And Austin will embrace you.
Well, I love music. I love good food. I love laid back attitudes. I love, you know, I like a nice, what do I like? My strongbow, a nice hard cider. Can I get a nice strongbow? Hey, you know what?
I'm sure you can.
Have you ever tasted this Henry's hard soda? Have you seen the commercials for that? Kevin, have you ever had that yet?
Is that alcoholic?
It's alcoholic. Have you ever had it?
I haven't tried it.
Have you seen it?
I've seen like the advertisement.
Do you think it tastes good?
It's probably really sweet. I'm not much of a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't be sweet. Look at those tattoos you have. Jesus. But, the psychiatrist would love to get this guy on the table with all these tattoos. My goodness. But, I go for a nice Texan, what's the drink of choice down there?
I don't think we have a drink of choice.
No?
I think it's whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm into Strongbow hard cider right now, so I'll need to get some Strongbow down there. But, it sounds like it's
cool. Like I said, there definitely is a cuisine of, like, I would say, your barbecue and good Mexican food. So if you like either or both of those things, you would definitely be enjoying.
I could go for a nice chimichanga. I'm not known to turn away a chimichanga or a sriracha.
Some good queso.
What is that?
Sriracha.
Sriracha.
Charcuterie?
Oh, no. Now you're on the shirt. Sriracha?
You have any charcuterie there?
Are these the things that have been blowing your mind lately?
Oh, you know what? Charcuterie used to be called an antipasto plate.
Right. And you're so right about that. Actually,
yeah.
As someone who is also of Italian-American descent,
right.
You are so right about that. I have thought about that.
Of course. I'm like, what is this, an antipasto plate? What is all this charcuterie, cootery,
no,
mootery, whatever?
You're going to have some charcuterie. You're going to have, what was the other thing? Oh, some sriracha.
Sriracha.
You're going to wash it all down with an IPA.
Well, it's very tech heavy. There's a lot of probably IPAs there, right? A lot of companies have IPAs, right? Oh, that's IPO.
No.
Oh, here's the best. Wait. I got to tell you this. So you just reminded me. So I go to the Blackhawk game, right? The other night, the other afternoon, the Blackhawks were playing in the morning, and this was the 12th. It was March 12th. So, in the neon bands that go around the arena that advertise, it says today is
3/12 day. You know, it says March 12th. Today is 3/1/2 day, right? So I'm sitting there with my wife, and I go, what the hell is 3/1/2 day, you know? And this girl in front of me turns around. She goes, it's a beer. I wanted to shrink. And I just go, I tried to put a spin on it. I go, thanks for bringing me into the 21st century. She's like, yeah, I just thought I'd let you know. It's a beer. Oh, my God.
I felt such a loser.
I'm so much, but I'm so much in the scene.
Oh, right, sure.
I'm like, because I was being all like, you know, what the hell is 3/1/2? Why is it 3/1/2 day? What's the, and she just turns
around. For God's sake, and she goes, tell me you didn't pull out your flip phone.
She goes, it's a beer. And I went, oh, man. Because I heard about this IPA thing. Now, what does that stand for?
I don't know.
Do you know, Kevin?
It's India Pale Ale, I believe.
India?
Oh, yeah, India Pale Ale, yeah.
India?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a type of hops they use.
Oh.
Something like that.
I thought it was? Because afterwards we went out to eat, and I'm like, so that girl really, you know, really embarrassed me with the 3/2/1 thing. And I go, so what's this IPA anyway? I go, I bet you it's probably Independent Pilsner.
Oh, God.
Association.
I'm pretty sure that Patrick has explained all of this to you.
Oh, I know. I just haven't. He's
done like a whole segment with
you. Oh, yeah. And he's done the IPAs. And he always, whenever we go out, he always orders beer for me. Because I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, get me the IPA with hibiscus in it or whatever the hell you're getting. I just always get what he gets. And for like 7 minutes for it takes me to drink a beer, I'm walking around with a cool can. That says, you know, what's this other one? Langostinos now or something?
Lagunitas.
Yeah, Lagunitas. Yeah.
Langostinos.
Oh, no, that's right. They have Langostinos at Red Lobster.
An Italian restaurant where you could actually get antipasto.
Yeah, well, because there was actually a good Lagunitas? Lagunitas. Yeah. There was one that was really good.
Little Something?
Little, is that what it's called?
One of them is called Little.
Is that the brand?
No, that's like the beer. Lagunitas is the brand.
Yeah.
That's one of their beers.
Yeah. I have to remember it because I had one with him recently, and then I went to in fact, I went to Binny's, the alcohol store. The alcohol store.
The liquor store?
Yeah, I guess it's called the liquor store, too. The alcohol store. I like that better. They should call it an alcohol store. And I actually called him from the alcohol store, and I said, what was the name of that, you know, that Lagatunas? What is it? What is it?
Lagunitas.
And he remembered, but they didn't have it there. So, but I do like that.
Yeah,
that comes in cans, right? Or bottles.
I think it depends on which one.
Yeah. See, I'm in the scene, Emily.
Oh, right. Yeah, I can tell.
Well, thank you, Emily Arminetti, once again, making the Pop Culture Club all it should be and more, and talking up your new hometown of Austin. And we will talk
I'll
to you.
I'll be waiting for your.
I definitely want to do that. We should talk about that offline. I would like to go out there. We would have fun.
Okay. Good.
If you remember, not to sound like some jet setting couple, but my wife and I met you and your husband one time in London. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah. When you guys lived in London.
Yes.
So, well, you know, the Toronto's.
Right. And you probably had a great time. I'm sure we showed you a great time. So
yeah.
Now you need to come check out.
We've been known to visit you.
Just don't say anything to embarrass me anywhere.
Well, that's why. Then we'll have to call it off. All right.
That's just a bridge too far.
Take care, Emily.
Thanks, Tim.
And this is Elton Jim Toronto here with another episode of Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com. So please stop by every Monday. WLS or WGN? WGNplus.com. From the end of the web to your screen.